The puzzle with Lamholt's design group is that the company looks cheap in exactly the way that can either make you money or waste 2 years of your life. Here is the setup. Lamholt's is a Swedish furniture and interiors group listed on Nasdaq Stockholm Small Cap. It sells products and interior solutions for public spaces, offices, and libraries through two business areas, office interiors and library interiors. This is not a shell company. It has real brands, real sales, audited reporting, and almost 900 million Swedish kronor of annual. And yet, the stock only works if that revenue can finally become enough EBIT and cash flow for shareholders. At a working share price of about 23 kronor 50 öre on May 28, 2026, and about 8.448 million ordinary shares, the market cap is roughly 198 million kronor. Add Q1 2026 net debt of 133 million, and enterprise value is about 332 million kronor. Against fiscal 2025 sales of 878.5 million, that is only 0.38 times sales. On a screen, that looks cheap, almost too cheap. But the income statement then taps you on the shoulder, which is rude but necessary. Fiscal 2025 adjusted EBIT was only 27.8 million, reported EBIT was 16 million, Q1 2026 adjusted EBIT was 0.9 million, so EV to fiscal 2025 adjusted EBIT is about 11.9 times, and EV to reported EBIT. That is the whole show. Lamholt's is cheap on sales only if margins normalize. If margins do not normalize, the low sales multiple is not a bargain. It is a warning label with Scandinavian typography. So the investment question is simple. Can roughly 900 million kronor of sales become a durable mid-single-digit EBIT business, with enough cash generation to bring down debt? If yes, the stock can work. If no, this is a real company with real products and still possibly a value trap. Let us start with what the business actually does. Lamholt's operates through office interiors and library interiors. Office is the larger area. It covers furniture and interior products for offices, public spaces, meeting environments, education, hospitality, and other contract settings. Library is more specialized: library interiors, shelving systems, furniture, media handling, and related solutions for public. This is not a recurring revenue software model. It is a product and project business. Customers order furniture and interior solutions. Revenue depends on project timing, public budgets, office demand, distributor activity, and tender processes. That makes the business understandable, but not highly predictable. The customer pain is also understandable. Public spaces and offices need furniture that is functional, durable, good-looking, compliant, and increasingly documented for sustainability. Libraries need shelving and interior systems that actually work for staff and visitors. Buyers care about design, quality, delivery, certifications, references, and price. That gives Lamholt some real sources of value. It has Scandinavian design brands, it has product know-how, it has public space references, it has sustainability documentation that can matter in procurement, it has a niche library platform that may be less commoditized than general office furniture. But none of that is a hard monopoly. There is no network effect, there is no software lock-in, there is no regulatory moat that prevents competitors from selling a chair, a table, a shelving system, or a full interiors package. The moat is software, brand, design, procurement credibility, product range, customer relationships, and execution. Soft moats can be valuable. They just need to show up in gross margin, order intake, and operating profit. Otherwise, they are mostly nice nouns. Now the financial tape. Fiscal 2025 was a repair year. Net sales were 878.5 million kronor. Gross profit was 323.6 million. Reported EBIP was 16 million. Adjusted EBIP was 27.8 million, for an adjusted EBIP margin of 3.2%. Profit after financial items was 8.2 million, and net. The cash flow looked better. Operating cash flow was 71.8 million, and free cash flow including leases was about 42 million. Net debt at year-end was 117.7 million. The company also approved a 1 krona dividend per share for fiscal 2025. So fiscal 2025 gives you both sides of the debate. The company can generate cash. The gross margin exists. The sales base is real. But EBIT conversion is still weak, and net profit is tiny relative to enterprise value. Then came Q1 2026, and Q1 is why we cannot just underwrite a clean recovery. Group sales were 207.8 million kronor. Adjusted gross margin was 36.3%. Adjusted operating profit was 0.9 million. Free cash flow, including leases, was negative 15.9 million. Order backlog was 232.3 million, up 12.4%. Group order intake was 206.4 million. The segment split matters more than the group average. Office interiors had Q1 sales of 140.6 million. Order intake was 122.4 million, down 16.3%. Backlog was up only 2.1%. Adjusted gross margin was 33.8%, hurt partly by idle capacity. Library Interiors had Q1 sales of 67.7 million. Order intake was 84 million, up 23.8%. Backlog was 97.6 million, up 30.6%. Adjusted gross margin was 41.2%. That is the cleanest operating picture. Office is the problem. Library is the current positive signal. The group case depends on whether Library can convert backlog into profit and cash while Office stops getting worse. If you want the bull case in one sentence, it is this. Lamholtz has real sales, improving gross margin, strong library backlog, and enough operating leverage that a move from 3% EBIT margin toward 5 or 6% can matter a lot for the equity. If you want the bear case in one sentence, it is this. Office remains weak, library backlog is less profitable than hoped, working capital eats cash, net debt stays high, and the market is correctly refusing to pay for revenue that barely becomes earnings. Let us talk about unit economics, or the closest equivalent for this kind of company. For Lamholtz, the key unit is not a software customer or a subscriber. It is gross profit per project, per product mix, and per segment, after capacity costs and overhead. The most important number is not revenue growth. It is EBIT drop-through. The gross margin evidence is reasonably constructive. Fiscal 2025 adjusted gross margin was about 37.1%. Q1 2026 was 36.3%. In a weak market, that is not terrible. It suggests the brands and product mix still have some pricing power. But the operating margin evidence is much weaker. Recent adjusted EBIT margins were about 3.1% in 2023, 0.5% in 2024, 3.2% in 2025, and 0.4% in Q1 2026. Management keeps an 8-10% EBIT ambition. That ambition is the upside case. It is not the base case. Treating it as normal earnings today would be spreadsheet cosplay. The operating leverage is powerful because the share count is small. Every 1 percentage point of EBIT margin on fiscal 2025 sales is about 8.8 million kronor of EBIT. On the current ordinary share base, that is roughly 1 krona and 4 or per share before tax and financing effects. That means a move from roughly 3% EBIT margin to 5.5% is not a small tweak. It is the difference between a stock that looks optically cheap and a stock that may actually be cheap. But there is another lever, net debt. Q1 net debt was 133.1 million kronor. Every 10 million kronor change in net debt is about 1 krona and 18 or per share. So working capital and cash conversion are not back office details. They are equity value. This is why fiscal 2025 cash flow needs careful handling. Free cash flow including leases was good, around 42 million. But working capital helped by roughly 33 million, and Q1 2026 reversed by almost 16 million. If working capital normalizes in shareholders' favor, great. If not, fiscal 2025 cash flow was too flattering. Now, moat and competition. Lamholtz has established Scandinavian design brands and a niche in library interiors. That matters. In contract furniture, public environments, and library systems, customers often care about references, durability, sustainability documentation, delivery reliability, and design credibility, sustainability certifications, and but the competitive environment is not gentle. Office furniture is cyclical and competitive. Buyers can delay projects, public budgets can tighten, hybrid work can reduce or shift office demand. Competitors include Nordic and European contract furniture companies, local suppliers, and broader interiors groups. So the moat is not customers cannot leave. The moat is customers may prefer a credible, documented, well-designed supplier when they are ready to buy. That is a useful position. It is not enough by itself. The moat must defend gross margin and support order intake. Governance also matters. Lamholtz has A, B, and C shares, concentrated ownership, and limited trading liquidity. The top owners control a large share of votes. That can be positive if long-term owners enforce discipline. It can be negative if minority B shareholders have little influence over dividends, acquisitions, or patients with weak performance. There's also dilution to model. Use about 8.448 million ordinary shares for the headline market cap. Use around 8.9 million shares for LTI diluted upside scenarios. And remember the AGM authorization for up to 800,000 new B shares for acquisition purposes. That could push a stress share count toward 9.0. In small caps, ignoring dilution is not conservatism. It is just doing the math badly. Now valuation. The working enterprise value is about 332 million kronor. EV to sales is about 0.38 times. EV to adjusted EBIT is about 11.9 times. EV to reported EBIT is about 20.7 times. Fiscal 2025 PE on reported net profit is roughly 43 times. So the stock is not obviously cheap on current earnings. It is cheap only on normalized earnings that have not yet been delivered. The bear scenario uses 850 million kroner of sales, a 2.5% EBIT margin, 7x EBIT to EBIT, and 135 million of net debt. That gives EBIT of about 21 million, enterprise value of about 149 million, and equity value of only about 14 million kroner. That sounds harsh, but it is the correct reminder: when debt is meaningful and EBIT is thin, the equity can get crushed without the company going bankrupt. The base scenario uses 900 million kroner of sales, a 5.5% EBIT margin, 8x EV2 EBIT, and 120 million of net debt. EBIT becomes 49.5 million. Enterprise value becomes 396 million. Equity value becomes 276 million. That is roughly 32 kroner. That base case is plausible. It is not driven. The bull scenario uses 940 million of sales, an 8% EBIT margin, 9x EV to EBIT, and 90 million of net debt. That gives EBIT of about 75 million, enterprise value of about 677 million, and equity value of about 587 million. That is around 69 kroner 50 per current share, or 66 kroner. That is the upside. But to get there, management's target has to start looking like a business result, not a sentence in a report. Now the bear case deserves proper respect. The bearish argument is not that Lamholtz is fake, that would be lazy. The bearish argument is that it is real and still mediocre for shareholders. Office demand may stay weak. The Q1 order intake decline of 16.3% may not be just timing. If the office market remains subdued, idle capacity keeps pressuring margins. If the company discounts to defend volume, gross margin can slip. If office remains weak, library has to do too much heavy lifting. Library may also disappoint. Q1 order intake and backlog were strong, but backlog is not profit. The company does not disclose backlog margin, cancellation risk, phasing, or working capital needs in enough detail. Library could convert orders into revenue without producing the EBIP and cash the bull case requires. The balance sheet is acceptable, but not a fortress. Q1 cash was only 6.1 million kroner, though available liquidity was 73.6 million. Net debt was 133 million. Lease liabilities matter. Financial expenses matter. In fiscal 2025, adjusted EBI was 27.8 million, but profit. Equity holders do not get to spend EBIT before lenders and leases have had their say. There is also an intangible asset risk. Goodwill and other intangibles are large relative to equity, and the company already had a material impairment in 2024. Another weak year could bring impairment questions back, which would not necessarily be cash in the period, but would damage confidence in normalized. And then there is liquidity. This trades like a microcap. Average daily turnover in the area work was around 475,000 kroner in Q1 2026. That is tradable for small positions. It is not deep. If you need to exit fast, the market may have other plans for your dignity. Now, what might the market misunderstand? The optimistic answer is that the market is looking at current EBIT and extrapolating too much weakness. If office is cyclical rather than structurally broken, and if library backlog really does convert, then current earnings understate normal earning power. The company does not need revenue to double. It needs a few hundred basis points of margin. That is why this case is more interesting than a normal low-margin industrial. Lamholtz already has the sales base. It already has gross profit. The missing piece is operating conversion. If the cost base has been reset, if capacity utilization improves, and if the mix moves toward better library work, EBIT can rise faster than sales. The equity market often reacts late to that kind of margin inflection, especially in illiquid small caps with little coverage. The skeptical answer is that the market understands this perfectly and simply refuses to pay before the evidence arrives. That is not irrational. Investors have seen many companies promise margin recovery. They have also seen many companies produce one good quarter, then blame weak demand, freight, components, timing, restructuring, integration, and the weather for the next four. Lamholtz. So the market misunderstanding, if there is one, is not that Lamholtz is secretly a high-growth company. It is that a modest move to mid-single-digit EBIT margins could be enough. A base case does not require management's full 8-10% target. It requires something more modest, sales around 900 million, EBIT margin around 5.5%, and net debt. That sounds boring, but boring is exactly where the math lives. Let us make that margin bridge concrete. At 3.2% adjusted EBIT margin on roughly 878 million of sales, Lamholtz earns about 28 million of adjusted EBIT. At 5.5% on 900 million, it earns almost 50 million. That is roughly 22 million more EBIT. Put an 8x multiple on that incremental EBIT, and you are talking about roughly 176 million of extra enterprise value before debt changes. Against a market cap under 200 million, that is a big swing. This is why tiny changes in a small company's margin can look like magic. It is not magic. It is operating leverage, plus a small equity base, plus debt sitting above the equity. But the same math is dangerous in reverse. If EBIT stays around 20 million and net debt stays around 135 million, there is not much equity value left under a conservative multiple. That is why the bear scenario looks so ugly. It is not predicting disaster, it is showing capital structure. This also affects how an investor should size it. A Lamholtz position should not be sized like a liquid large cap. You cannot assume you will sell a meaningful position in one day without moving the price. You also cannot assume a negative report will give you a polite exit. Illiquidity is not just an inconvenience, it changes the required margin of safety. For a private investor, that may mean a small position where the maximum loss is acceptable and the holding period can be long. For an institution, it may mean the stock is too small to matter, even if the expected return is good. Being right in an unscalable position is emotionally satisfying and economically irrelevant. Annoying, but true. There is also a difference between buying before proof and buying after proof. Buying before Q2 is a bet that the market is too pessimistic and that the next reports will improve. The upside is that the entry price may still reflect doubt. The downside is obvious, the doubt may be correct. Buying after Q2 or Q3 may mean paying more. But if the report shows office stabilization, library profit conversion, positive cash flow, and lower net debt, then the probability-weighted case is better. In small-cap investing, paying a little more after uncertainty falls is not cowardice. It is sometimes just math with fewer blind spots. Now, a word on the dividend. The 1 krona per share dividend is not central to the upside case, but it tells us something about board confidence. The company is not acting like an emergency financing story. That is good. But dividends in a levered low-margin business should be treated carefully. If free cash flow recovers, the dividend is fine. If Q1-style cash burn continues, the dividend becomes less impressive and more like moving money from the balance sheet to shareholders while the operating story waits for better weather. The ideal outcome is not a high dividend yield. The ideal outcome is higher EBIT, better free cash flow, and lower net debt. If those happen, dividends can follow from strength. If they do not, dividends are just a small consolation prize in a weak equity case. There is one more subtle point, reported versus adjusted earnings. I am using adjusted EBIT because it helps compare operating performance through restructuring and unusual items, but I do not want a company where adjusted EBIT is permanently the only number that looks good. Reported EBIT has to improve too. If the bridge from adjusted to reported keeps absorbing shareholder value, the market will keep applying a discount. It should. Though, the cleanest bullish evidence would look like this. Office orders stop declining, library backlog converts into profitable sales, group gross margin holds, adjusted EBIT rises, reported EBIT rises, working capital improves, and net debt falls. That is the sequence. Miss two or three of those, and the case gets shaky. So, what would change the thesis? The first catalyst is the Q2 or first half 2026 report, scheduled for July 14, 2026. The second is Q3, scheduled for October 23rd. Those reports matter more than almost anything in the historical narrative. Watch office order intake first. It needs to stabilize. It does not need to boom, but another sequence of material declines would hit the base case. Watch library conversion second. Order intake up 23.8% and backlog up 30.6% are only valuable if they become revenue, segment profit, and cash. Watch gross margin third. The group needs adjusted gross margin around 36 to 37%. A drop below 35 or 36 without a clean explanation would be a warning. Watch adjusted EBIT and reported EBIT together. Adjusted EBIT can show operating direction. Reported EBIT shows whether shareholders actually keep the improvement. If all the progress lives in adjustments, be skeptical. Watch working capital and net debt. If free cash flow remains negative after the dividend period and net debt rises materially above Q1's 133 million, the equity becomes more fragile. Watch management stability. The announced departure of the chief sales officer and acting managing director for Lamholtz Merbel comes at an awkward time. The company needs commercial execution, not more organizational noise. And watch capital allocation. The authorization for up to 800,000 B shares for acquisitions is not automatically bad. But if management uses shares for a vague, low-margin acquisition before proving the core margin recovery, that is a kill criterion. So, final judgment. Lamholtz is a conditional turnaround, not a clean compounder and not a simple deep value layup. The company has enough substance to deserve serious work, real sales, real brands, improving gross margin evidence, a strong library order signal, and a valuation that can move quickly if EBIT margin reaches 5 or 6%. But the evidence is not yet strong enough to underwrite management's 8 to 10% EBIT ambition as a base case. Q1 2026 was too weak. Office is too important. Working capital is too relevant. Net debt is too large relative to the equity value. Liquidity and control deserve a discount. My stance is watchlist to selective buy depending on risk tolerance and position size. If you can underwrite illiquidity and you believe the next two reports will show margin recovery, the asymmetry is real. If you need proof first, wait for Q2 and Q3. Paying a slightly higher price for better evidence may be rational. The one thing I would not do is buy this just because EV to sales is low. That is how value traps dress up for dinner. For Lamholtz, the question is not whether the company can sell furniture. It can. The question is whether it can sell enough furniture at enough margin with enough cash conversion for enough quarters that the equity finally gets paid. Not the chairs. The EBIT.